From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. The much-anticipated meeting between U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and his Russian counterpart, Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, took place in Moscow on Wednesday. At the conclusion of talks, the two held a joint press conference. Today we bring you excerpts from that press conference.
We frankly discuss the current state of U.S.-Russia relations. I express the view that the current state of U.S.-Russia relations is at a low point, and there is a low level of trust between our two countries. The world's two foremost nuclear powers cannot have this kind of relationship. We further discussed approaches to improving our channels of communication. We had a lengthy exchange of views regarding the situation in Syria and shared perspectives on possible ways forward. Earlier today, Foreign Minister Lavrov and I had a lengthy conversation about issues that require immediate attention and issues that require longer-term attention. We understand that improvement in the long-term relationship will be required if we are to make progress on issues where we have different views. We spoke extensively about Syria, and in some areas, we share a common view. Specifically, we both believe in a unified and stable Syria, and we agree we want to deny a safe haven for terrorists who want to attack both of our countries. We agree that North Korea has to be denuclearized. We agreed there needs to be more senior level communication between our two countries, both at a diplomatic and military level. But there is a broad range of other issues in which we have differences. Some have global implications with long-term requirements, and others are understood to be bilateral. Over the course of the past 2 years, a number of reciprocal actions have been taken to demonstrate the dissatisfaction each country has with the other. We need to attempt to put an end to this steady degradation, which is doing nothing to restore the trust between our two countries or to make progress on the issues of the greatest importance to both of us. We've agreed to establish a working group to address smaller issues and make progress towards stabilizing the relationship so that we can then address the more serious problems. Foreign Minister Lavrov and I agreed we would consider further proposals made about the way forward in Syria, including consulting with our allies and coalition members. And we will continue discussions about how to find a solution to the Syrian conflict. We also discussed current threats posed by the North Korea's regime, the regime's ongoing development of their nuclear program, and the constructive role Russia can play in encouraging the regime in North Korea to change its course so that we can create the conditions for talks regarding the future. On Minsk, we consider the importance of the accord. Russia can make progress in the implementation by de-escalating violence and taking steps to withdraw separatist armed forces and heavy weapons so that OSCE observers can fulfill their role. Until full progress is made under the Minsk Accords, the situation in Ukraine will remain an obstacle to improvement in relations between the U.S. and Russia. I thank the Foreign Minister for a productive round of discussions, and I look forward to future conversations. Thank you.
Dear colleagues, now we will go over to questions on Channel Russia 24. Russia 24. And my first question is to Mr. Tillerson. We have heard from Washington not only contradictory but also aggressive statements. I mean, Mr. Trump, who has called Assad an animal, and from the White House, Sean Spicer, who said that Hitler hadn't used chemical weapons. How does that actually fit in with American diplomacy, and when will the rhetoric change?
Well, I think the perspective from the United States, supported by the facts that we have, are conclusive, that the recent chemical weapons attack carried out in Syria was planned, and it was directed and executed by Syrian regime forces, and we're quite confident of that. This is just the latest in a series of the use of chemical weapons by the Assad regime, and notwithstanding their use on more than 50 occasions of chlorine bombs and cluster bombs and other types of weapons that are intended to maim and kill in the most horrific ways. So I think the characterization is one that President Assad has brought upon himself.
Josh Letterman.
Well, I'd just like to add two words there. It is perfectly obvious that this subject is one we diverge on, inasmuch as Russia is insisting on an objective investigation. Together with the United States in 2014 were the initiators of the elimination of chemical weapons in Syria, and the record deadlines were enshrined in conventions which belong to the OPCW and the United Nations, and there are reports about chemical weapons here which record progress in eliminating all the stockpiles of chemical weapons, and which also record facts to the effect that some of these stockpiles are being controlled by extremists. This process has not stopped in Damascus, and we are putting as much pressure as possible on the Syrian government to cooperate in this respect, and we are committed to completing this work, and we will go to the end. We will finish it off. There is a mission to establish the facts by the OPCW, a joint mechanism between the OPC and the UN. And we have a number of questions with regard to those two bodies, because some of the communications which are going to the Syrian government are all pivoting on distance information, I don't want to completely discredit the white helmets, but this is a problem, and also the quality of testimony which exists with regard to the use of chemicals in the territory which is controlled by the opposition. On numerous occasions, the Syrian government and the Syrian servicemen have given us absolutely incontrovertible evidence about the use of chemical weapons. Was not some kind of distance information, but information from the site. I'd just like to say also, and I don't want to accuse anybody here or protect anyone, we insist on an objective investigation of what happened on the 4th of April. Incidentally, this actually coincided with the convocation of a meeting in Brussels on the Syrian situation. Many participants at that meeting in the afternoon after the Idlib crisis started very actively and loudly proclaiming that the entire conference should be devoted only to this question, which should have been about the overall settlement of Syria. So the media hysteria which was unleashed as a result of this incident, we have to make sure that we are impartial now in investigating this whole business by sending international expert groups to the site and to that particular place where the chemicals were used, and of course the airfield which was used for sending out aircraft with chemical substances. We have seen no confirmation that that was the case, all the more so because the TV images showed that there were people on the airfield immediately after the strike, and there were absolutely no evidence of which would allow us to talk about the use of some kind of poisonous substances. I do apologize for such a long commentary, but I'd just like to stress here that we are absolutely 100% convinced that if our colleagues in the United Nations and in The Hague shirk from this investigation, then this will mean that they simply don't want to establish the truth. And we will insist on it.
Josh Letterman with the Associated Press.
Thank you. Secretary Tillerson, I want to ask you about your conversations with President Putin about Syria. You've predicted that Assad will leave power through a political transition. How will you compel Assad to participate in a political transition that leads to his own ouster? Are war crimes charges on the table? And how long will the United States wait for Russia to come around? And Foreign Minister Lavrov, if I may, your government and the United States government seem to be miles apart on the Syria issue, on Ukraine and other issues. Did you feel that you cleared up any of those issues you mentioned earlier today since you've had those discussions with Secretary Tillerson?
Well, we did discuss at length the future role for Assad, whether it be in a future political process or not. Clearly, our view is that the reign of the Assad family is coming to an end. And they have, again, brought this on themselves with their conduct of the war these past few years. We discussed our view that Russia, as their closest ally in the conflict, perhaps has the best means of helping Assad recognize this reality. We do think it's important that Assad's departure is done in an orderly way, so that certain interests and constituencies that he represents feel they have been represented at the negotiating table for a political solution. How that occurs, we leave that to the process going forward. We do not think one has to occur before the other can begin, and it will take a pace of its own. But the final outcome, in our view, does not provide for a role for Assad or for the Assad family in the future governance of Syria. We do not think the international community will accept that. We do not think the world will accept that.
What about the war crimes charges?
We discussed the issue that as time goes by, and more evidence continues to be gathered, it is possible that the threshold necessary to charge individuals, including Bashar al-Assad, may be achieved. As you know, this is a very high legal hurdle in order to bring such charges against an individual. So I would not suggest to you that all of that evidence is in place, but I think the longer time goes by, it's possible that the case will be made, and there are certain individuals who are working to make that case.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I'd just like to say that we do not consider that we are miles apart on many questions on the agenda. Syria and Ukraine. In our introduction, we talked about the accords and the opening of channels of communication, particularly about Ukraine, as far as Syria is concerned and Bashar al-Assad. We talked today about the history, and Rex said that he was a new man and he's not interested so much in history. He wants to deal with today's problems, but the world is so constructed that unless we look at what's happened in the past, we won't be able to deal with the present. Particularly in a situation where a group of countries, Western countries, the NATO countries, were absolutely obsessed with eliminating a particular dictator or totalitarian leader. When it was a question of ousting Slobodan Milosevic, NATO unfurled a huge campaign. It was a very coarse, blatant violation of international law. They even bombed the place, which is certainly a war crime, whichever way you interpret the Geneva Convention, and they bombed the headquarters. There were also attacks on trains, the Chinese embassy, bridges, and so on and so forth. This lasted some 2 months, and after all this, which was very near to dual purpose weapons of dual purpose, then they ousted him. Then there was a question of Saddam Hussein. We know after the invasion, we know what it was based on, and then Tony Blair afterwards repented publicly that all this was a fake. And you all know about that no worse than we do. And then there was Gaddafi. It was declared that this dictator had no place in his own country, and this was against democracy. We know what happened in Libya. The Libyan government is now under a huge question mark. We spoke about this, or President Putin did speak about it yesterday with the Italian president, and we are both trying to stop the situation of the country slipping into full illegal immigration, gun running, and so on. So, incidentally speaking, we have some quite recent, even more recent examples. Sudan, President Bashir was declared to be under prosecution by the International Court of Justice, and President Obama decided that in order to settle this problem, you had to divide the country up into two, and the southern part very actively asked for our assistance in dealing with President Bashir, that the Americans want to see incorporated, that he should be the head of the both states. He kept his word. He divided the country into two parts, according to the American project of the administration of President Obama, and that with the effect that sanctions were introduced against their own child on southern Sudan. So this insistence on removing or ousting a dictator or totalitarian totalitarian leader, we have already been through it. We very well know, only too well, what happens when you do that. I don't remember any case of a dictator being removed smoothly without violence. So in Syria, and I have stressed this on many times, we are not staking everything on a personality, on President Assad, as is being done in Libya at the moment. We are simply insisting that everybody sits around a table and talks about it and comes to agreement, as has been enshrined in the Security Council resolution. We want to install dialogue with all the players concerned, and we want the Syrians themselves, without any kind of exclusion, to be represented in this process. And removing or ousting a particular personality from this scene is not on our agenda. We are talking about the whole of the Syrian government. We want it to be democratic, and we want it to be secular as well. We want to see all the ethnic confessional groups in the country to feel protected, justly represented in all the branches of government and power. And obviously for that you need a new constitution. We think that then the question of the fate of individuals could be dealt with, and without any kind of tragic consequences for the state as a whole. Коммерсант. Thank you very much. I have a question to Mr. Tillerson. Did you discuss in today's negotiations the intervention of Russia in the U.S. elections? And could you tell us about how the presence of Russian cybernauts differs from the question of American cybernauts in virtual space? There is also the whole question about the Korean issue. Have you actually thought about setting up a group which would actually look at that kind of thing together? Is that a question to both ministers or what?
We touched only briefly on the issue of cybersecurity, and in particular on the challenges that it is placing on everyone in terms of a new threat, an emerging threat. But I think I do make a distinction when cyber tools are used to interfere with the internal decisions among countries as to how their elections are conducted. That is one use of cyber tools. Cyber tools to disrupt weapons programs, that's another use of the tools. And I make a distinction between those two. Clearly, this is an issue that has emerged in our time, for which we have yet, as an international community, come to some conclusion around how we want to respond to that. And so there will be further discussions, and it is on the agenda, and it is in the agenda that Foreign Minister Lavrov passed to me for us to have further discussions in the future.
I can only confirm that we are very interested in bilateral cooperation to combat crime in the cyberspace. We have heard about that 18 months ago. We actually proposed to Obama's administration that we should do something about it. We voiced our concern about Russian hackers hacking into the entire world and the illegitimate use of these tools. and the possibility for prosecuting these people. And we said there then that we too are very interested in our citizens not being victims of cyber crimes, and we propose that we should have a special system of contacts, a special mechanism which would exchange information in real time, looking into how people are trying to subvert international norms and national norms in both countries. The president spoke about it, but really didn't react at all. And then in November last year, it was suggested that we should meet about that. And obviously, our colleagues in the relative spheres agreed. But then at the last moment, Obama administration decided not to go ahead with it and to subvert U.S.-Russian relations before the new administration. I just want to confirm the fact that we are particularly interested in that. We still have that project on the table. We want to renew it. We want to resume contacts with special representatives in the administration of the U.S. and the Russian Federation President's office and engage and commit all the various authorities concerned. There may be a result from all these efforts, and we hope that we will be able to close this matter. We haven't actually broached this whole idea of a presidential commission. It was put on ice by Obama, but when we looked at the problems dogging the bilateral relations, we thought of looking at the independence of the organization and looked at the specific people who could help us to overcome the difficulties. And we are looking at how we can overcome these problems above all the problems which were created artificially.
Jensen, Fox News Channel.
Thank you. Secretary Tillerson, did you discuss today with President Putin or Foreign Minister Lavrov sanctions or other concessions that the United States might make in exchange for a change in behavior from the Russian government? And also, speaking about what you just answered previously, did you present to President Putin or the Foreign Minister specific evidence the Russian government interfered in the U.S. election? And to Foreign Minister Lavrov, if an independent investigation finds the Assad government attacked his own people with chemical weapons, what will Russia do? President Putin says there's an effort to blame Assad and plant evidence. Did you present that evidence to Secretary Tillerson today? And would Russia refuse to consider to agree to any circumstance that results in the ousting of Bashar al-Assad?
We discussed no change in the status of sanctions that have been in place with Russia as a result of certain actions taken in Ukraine, as you know. I think as to the question of the interference with the election, that is fairly well established in the United States, and I think that has been spoken to on the Hill as well with the Congress, and it is a serious issue. It's one that we know is serious enough to attract additional sanctions. And so we are mindful of the seriousness of that particular interference in our elections, and I'm sure that Russia is mindful of it as well.
Well, the State Secretary did not threaten me with sanctions. It didn't threaten me with anything, actually. We frankly discussed the questions which were on our agenda, including where there are problems, and in fact on the majority of them there are problems, and what will happen if the investigation will demonstrate the involvement of the Syrian leadership in the chemical attacks. I believe that question is hypothetical. We don't want to try and guess the coffee grates because there has been a lot of historical looking at the tea leaves and coming to the conclusion that bombing should take place. As far as the argument that the U.S. has incontrovertible evidence of the fact that we intervened in the U.S. presidential campaign, then I have to say once again, not a single fact has been confirmed. Who saw those facts? We don't know. Nobody has shown us anything. And we have said to them, show us the evidence.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.